Shopping for holiday gifts? You can't go wrong with Raycon wireless earbuds. Amazing audio quality, a 32-hour battery life, and three new sound profiles so everything you're listening to sounds its best. Unlock exclusive deals up to 30% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Now, I can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise. Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s or other toys that have run out at Christmas time in past years when there was no supply chain.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This charade must end. The government must require vaccinations.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Congress needs to man up, stand up, and fight for the American people. And that means don't fund a government that is tyrannically forcing people to get a vaccine that they don't want to get.
Booster become part of the mandate.
Yeah, I can't answer that right now, but I know that for the time being, the official definition of fully vaccinated is two.
It could change.
It could change, yes.
His whim is your command.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Well, as you know, the rhino two-term governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, called Charlie Parker by the president of the United States, announced today he will not be seeking a third term. He was running way behind in the polls. His lieutenant governor, Karen Pay-to-Play-Polito, also announced that she would not be running for governor as well.
Did this just happen?
It just happened. Just happened a few hours ago, less than 12 hours ago. He started making calls in the early morning, issued a statement about how he wants to spend more time with the planet, et cetera, that he did a press conference this afternoon. So there's only one candidate for governor right now on the Republican side. That's the guy who was running ahead in the polls, former state representative Jeff Deal of Whitman, who is by himself now, at least for
a while.
Congratulations, Jeff. Congratulations on moving him aside. Were you surprised when you got the word this morning?
I really wasn't surprised. We were expecting that he wasn't going to rerun, and I was surprised that the lieutenant governor decided to announce at the same time. I didn't quite know how they were going to handle that. But, congratulations goes to everybody who's listening, because it wasn't just me. This is something that I think people in Massachusetts have seen for a while here, is he's becoming less and less connected to what the people of the state are thinking, what they need. And I think, you know, the polls are starting to reflect that. So I'm glad that he became aware of that. And, you know, it was, with less than a year to go, time for him to make a decision. So I think today was overdue, but at the same time, very, very glad to know that we can move forward without having a primary, and that we can spend a lot of time over the next year talking about how we are going to move Massachusetts forward in a way that gives people back their rights, that stops putting masks on kids, that lets people choose their health care decisions like vaccines, or whether they want to have them or not. You know, get people back to work, lower energy costs. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, but I'm looking forward to it, and today is just the start of it all.
You didn't even have time to put out a press release on vaccine passports, which you seemed to be endorsing the other day and then quickly backed off of.
We had to put a quick statement out in a meme yesterday, because it happened so quickly between that and his announcement to not run. Yes, the news has been coming fast and furious in the last week or so. But, pulling out of TCI that he decided on last week, that was fantastic for the people of Massachusetts. Maybe not for his political future, and maybe that weighed into it. But again, the people who listen to this show know, you know, he's become a bit disconnected with what reality is. I mean, nobody wants rising gas costs, and nobody wants unelected bureaucrats to decide how much it's going to go up every year. We decided that back in 2014 with a ballot question. We were going to do it again this time, but thankfully he saw the light and pulled it. And I think a week later saw the light and decided that maybe he shouldn't be, serving as governor after this term.
How much of an influence was the endorsement of you by Donald J. Trump?
Oh, that's huge. I mean, look, in 2016, people forget this. Over 40,000 people unenrolled in the state to be able to vote for Trump in the primary. And it was a pretty healthy primary. There was a lot of candidates in the field. So when you have Democrats, you know, changing their affiliation to be able to vote for Trump, and he didn't win the state, but he won the state in the primary with such an overwhelming majority that it was his largest margin of victory till he hit his home state. So Trump is extremely popular in Massachusetts within the Republican Party. I think his popularity is actually going back up as we see Biden just continue to fail day after day, month after month, and all within the first year. So, look, I think Donald Trump's endorsement certainly came as a shot in the arm for my campaign, but it's really no surprise. Again, he speaks to the people the way I feel is that, you know, it's time to put American interests first, American jobs first. Let people decide their own futures, not government. So I was really, really thrilled to get his endorsement, and I think that must have had some effect on this.
Have you talked to President Trump today?
Not yet. I just saw that he put a statement out. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I think he's just put a statement out about the race. I think he's happy that the governor's not rerunning. So let's put it that way.
Well,
his endorsement paid off.
It's rather ironic that the Washington Post had put a story out today saying these are the 10 races that were involving Republicans that the president doesn't like, and how they fair in the 2022 elections will decide a lot about what he does in 2024. And before the ink was even dry on the story, Charlie Parker, who was like number 8 or number 9 on the list, was out.
Yeah, I guess that must have been the president's hit list there. But look, I know the president was when he spoke to me a few weeks ago when he did the endorsement, he said to me that, you know, he really wants to make sure that he has someone serving as governor of Massachusetts that's going to be aligned with his goals for the United States. And I felt that way in 16, and nothing's changed since then. So, I, if he does decide to rerun, I look forward to supporting his efforts.
Taylor, do you have the statement from the president?
Yes, I do. He says, Rhino, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker has announced that because I didn't endorse him and he is incapable of getting the Republican nomination, he will not be running for re-election. He's been very selfish and is bad news for the Republican Party. Actually, he shouldn't even be considered a Republican. We wish him well.
Okay, I hadn't read that, but that sounds a lot like Donald Trump, so I'm going to say that has to be right. That must be it.
Well, do you think you're going to have a primary opponent in the Republican primary? And in a way, wouldn't it be good to have an opponent just to keep the race in the news and to have a lot of people going out to the convention?
Well, either way, I'm happy. Look, first of all, it's great to have a debate. Whether Governor Baker had stayed in or Karen Polino had stayed in, I would have been happy to debate their policies versus what we should be doing for the future. If somebody wants to get in, that's fine. The more the merrier. But at the same time, you know, I think that the Democrats are going to be making news every day next year, but it won't be good news. And I think that'll give us a great opportunity for me to contrast what their beliefs are versus what our beliefs are. I mean, they really want to take our country down a road that I don't think any of us want to see. And whoever the Democrat nominee is going to be parroting every line that the progressives down in Washington are doing. So you're going to see a candidate in Massachusetts that's going to be cut from the mold of AOC. And we've seen in the past, this state does want governors who are a counterbalance to the overly Democratic legislature. And I think this is going to be another opportunity to have someone who can be fiscally responsible that will, you know, guide the state in the way that really helps the average citizen, not just, you know, meet up the talking points from Washington about, you know, free colleges and, you know, just everything, that the constant masking, the constant lockdowns. We just can't have any more of that. Our businesses can't stand it. Our parents can't stand it. Our kids can't stand it. It's time to change culture, too.
Who do you think will be the Democrat nominee? I mean, names being bandied about today, new names like Marty Walsh, the former mayor, now the Secretary of Labor, Joe Kennedy, the former congressman from Newton, I guess, and then Mara Healey, the Attorney General, who's been kind of a Hamlet, you know, can't make up her mind what to do. Who do you think you're going to be running against?
Well, we've seen in the past that AGs have a tough time making it to the governorship. So, you know, if she takes a pass, I wouldn't be surprised. For Marty Walsh to abandon the president right now, I mean, I'm not sure that's a good look for him. But if he decides that's politically expedient for him, I guess he can make that decision. Joe Kennedy, you know, certainly someone who I surprised he lost to Ed Markey, but he did.
He was too.
Looking for something. Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Well, if he's looking for something to do, I'm happy to debate him, because I think, again, Republican principles are starting to have a real upshot across the country, and I think even in Massachusetts. Virginia really proved that people are getting really tired of the woke mentality that's taken over these blue states.
You know, he had this big fundraiser planned. Some guy from Connecticut, who used to be a Springfield city councilor, had set the thing up. It was going to be like in less than 2 weeks from now. I mean, do you think he changed his mind at the last minute?
You know, it's interesting. I listened a little bit to his interview today, or his 3 o'clock press release, and it did seem like he was reluctantly making this decision to exit. They were asked how long, you know, had they thought during this last week that maybe they should run, he and the lieutenant governor. And it seemed like, you know, he felt like maybe at one point they did feel like they should run. So I think this decision has come fairly recently, within the last week, the decision that he probably can't win the Republican primary. And at that point, you really... It's almost impossible to win as an independent in the state. Just ask
right.
Tim Cahill. He was the
right.
last one who tried it, I think. And it's something that I think the governor looked at the odds and said, I probably can't beat Deal in the Republican primary. I'm time to get out.
Wow. So what, you want to say anything directly to, I know you issued a press release, but do you want to say anything directly to Charlie Baker as he exits stage left?
Well, look, I don't want to change facts. I supported him in 2010. I supported him in 14, even in 18, despite the fact that he didn't seem to really want to support me for my race against Elizabeth Warren. I think that his intent was to serve this state in a way that would, give our state, you know, a better economy and all that. I mean, the problem is, the pandemic certainly has put us in a tough spot. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of policy I would do differently than him. So, you know, I appreciate his time in office. I'm sure he had good intentions, and I look forward to building on, you know, some of the intent that he had there.
Okay, Jeff, if people want to get involved with your campaign, what's the website?
Yeah, they can go to jeffdeal.com. I think people know my name spelled a little differently, thanks to my mom. It is GeoffDiehl. So GeoffDiehl is jeffdeal.com. And you can go there to volunteer. You can obviously pick up some campaign gear. We are selling some things there. And if you can donate, that goes a long way to helping us win next November.
All right. Again, congratulations, Jeff. This is a big day for you. And you drove a sitting governor out with a little bit of help from a guy in Palm Beach. But
yeah,
you got it done.
It's a team effort, and everybody's played a part. So
some may argue really two guys it. In Palm Beach.
True.
Well, it was mainly the guys a little south, a little further south than I am. All right, Jeff Deal, congratulations again, and best
Thanks
to everybody.
Again.
And we'll be talking with you more very soon. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. We'll be right back, and we've got the Charlie Baker press cuts, and we'll play the Charlie Baker music. We've gotten some requests for the Charlie Baker music. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
Excitable? You bet I'm excitable. We're trying to put a guilty man in the chair where he belongs. Someone stops telling us fairy tales and we're listening.
Howie Carr is back.
Apparently they're having snowstorms in Germany. And here's a headline. Deep freeze in Arctic Europe since power prices soaring. There's stories about how the Russians had to send out ships to icebreakers to bust ships that were trapped in the ice in the Arctic Ocean out. I mean, where is this global warming that's such a threat? That was Charlie Parker's big thing. He wanted to do something by, you know, increasing the tax on gasoline from 24 cents to 62 cents per gallon.
You're a loser.
That was a study by Tufts University, Mr. Parker. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Starting December 1st, rates will be $120 a night. Book an ocean view room with fireplace at nausetbeachinn.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Chris Cuomo be back at some point?
I'm still going to say no, even though I'm less sure than I was a few hours ago.
36% say no.
All right. Before we play the Charlie Parker cuts, can I hear the statement by Donald J. Trump again that was just issued out of his office? Hold on. Okay. We'll play the music then. Taylor.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Charlie Parker. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. You beg her to spare you, Charlie, please. But you can't stop Charlie Parker.
You can't stop Charlie Parker. Here's Donald Trump's statement as read by Taylor. You can put on the accent if you can, Taylor.
Okay. Rhino, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker has announced that because I didn't endorse him and he is incapable of getting the Republican nomination, he will not be running for re-election. He's been very selfish and is bad news for the Republican Party. Actually, he shouldn't even be considered a Republican. We wish him well.
We wish him well. All right. Limerick guy says, no surprise with pay-to-play's decision not to run. She was like a parrot on Pirate Parker's shoulder and nothing more. A parrot. That's a good way to put it, Limerick guy. 844-500-4242. So Charlie Parker today was asked at the State House press conference if he will miss the job. Cut six.
Are you sad about this? Are you going to miss the job?
I will certainly miss the job. Yeah. When I left Harvard Pilgrim back in 2009, if you said to me, are you going to miss the job? Yeah. What do you miss most about the job? The people that you work with when you leave the job. But that's been, honestly, that's been true of every job I've ever had, going all the way back to being a, you know, paper route. You develop bonds with the people that you work with. And when you don't see those people, no matter what you do next, you miss them. And by virtue of that, you certainly miss the job.
Like that state rep from Lowell, who's now going to prison. Do you miss seeing him, Charlie? Used to have your picture taken with him all the time. Do you miss going to those fundraisers and seeing Jaisal Correa, the mayor of Fall River, who's now going to prison himself?
The worst part about this is now we have this year-long goodbye parade to go through.
A farewell tour. I don't think he's going to sell out too many houses on his farewell tour. Cut four.
And we believe it's most important that we spend the next year focusing on that and not focusing on, let's call it, the discourse. And that's probably an insult to the word discourse that comes with political campaigning.
Oh, he doesn't want to get into these political grudge matches. That's another phrase they used, grudge matches. He was going to lose the grudge match because a lot of people had grudges about him destroying their jobs, shutting down their churches, shutting down their schools, shutting down their high school sports, putting their favorite restaurants out of business, costing them employment. All the people who died in the nursing homes that he was supposed to be regulating while he was taking $52,000 in political contributions from their operators. We'll play these more cuts as we go through.
207, how many people do you work with on a paper route? A tandem bicycle? Karen sitting on the handlebars?
I'm sure he was delivering the Globe. That's the only paper he would ever think of delivering. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We'll take some calls on Charlie Parker and pay to play in a moment. But I want to play a couple more more cuts from both of them at the press conference. Cut five.
Are you ruling out a run for national office, Governor? Are you ruling out a run for president?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I guess you have to ask that question, or someone has to ask that question, but it does seem kind of silly, doesn't it? 339 has a really great description of what happened. COVID claims another victim, Charlie Parker. That is so true. That is
You're
so,
a loser.
He thought that this was going to propel him into, you know, I don't know, at least one more term. But, you know, you don't make friends and influence people by pushing them around, especially over nothing. And that's what this came down to. He made it worse. He took a problem and made it immeasurably worse. And they kept, he's the most popular governor. Oh, really? And they kept putting out these polls. We had the highest unemployment rate in the country in Massachusetts, and we had the third highest death rate simultaneously. He's the most popular governor in history of the United States. Oh. Ugh. All right. So he called Marty Walsh, believe it or not. Cut 7.
The Lieutenant Governor and I called a lot of people today, and I did speak with Secretary Walsh, and it was basically just a conversation to give him a heads up if he hadn't heard about it. Most of our conversation was what I would describe as a little bit of a... it was a series of humorous anecdotes about moments that we'd worked together on than anything else. But no, there was no comment or conversation about any of that.
They have one thing in common, you know. They owe their political careers to getting to run against Marsha Coakley. And they share that with Scott Brown. Could any of those guys ever been elected if they hadn't been running against Marsha Coakley? Marty Walsh started out his political career running for state rep against Marsha Coakley. And you know the rest. You know the other two. Baker is asked about advice for the next governor. Go ahead. Cut 8.
Have a really great lieutenant governor who makes you look good and a whole bunch of really terrific cabinet secretaries. Shouldn't have done it. A whole bunch of really terrific cabinet secretaries and staff.
Yeah, that's why he said all this amazing success with the MBTA, the Registry of Motor Vehicles, the State Police, DCF, Public Health. All the dead people in the nursing homes, Holyoke Soldiers Home. He had such great people working for him. No question about that. Cut 3.
It was, in fact, a very complicated and difficult decision for a number of reasons. We both love the work, we love the people, and we love the experience that comes with this, and the opportunity to help communities and to help people build bigger and stronger.
Right, because the state's a lot bigger and stronger since you've been governor. No question about that. Do you really get the feeling he loves the people? I got the feeling he loved pushing people around. That's what he loved about the people, being able to order them to do things, do stupid things. Like, you know, have to sit at a bar with a plexiglass between you and the bartender. He loved that. He loved telling people you can come into a restaurant and have a drink, but you have to have a meal. You
not
can't
pretzels.
Have
not
you
pretzels.
You can't have pretzels. You can't have potato chips. You can't have any dry roasted peanuts. You have to order the chicken wings. Or the potatoes. God. And then, okay, we'll play, before we get back to the calls, I do want to play Karen Pay to Play Polito. Cut 1.
And these are a difficult decision for all of us, in part because these are great jobs. It's an honor to be in this building and serving the people of this Commonwealth. And that makes it difficult to decide what to do next.
Just go home and shut up. And don't bother us ever again. We don't want any more of your friends or your kids' coaches or anybody else getting these clerk magistrate jobs either, no matter how much money they give you. Do you know how much money she's got in her account? I just looked it up. $2.3 million. Charlie Parker's only got $684,000 in his bank account. All right, one more cut, and then we'll go to the calls. Cut 2.
And I think a lot of you who've covered our work over the past 7 years know that in a moment, things can change from really good to really terrible. And in these last 7 years, I just told you my children were in elementary school when I started with the governor. We've had snowstorms, we've had gas explosions,
Keggers.
We've had a pandemic that has lasted long over what any one of us expected. And all of those as examples.
About the forest fires, the forest and the floods, and the ice storms, and the tornadoes, and the hurricanes.
And the stuff that you just manage every day.
All these scandals at the state police. All those future judges who gave us maxed out $1,000 every year for years before they got their judgeships. Trying to beggar the motorists of Massachusetts by increasing their gas taxes 150%. Those were some great moments. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Howie, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. Howie, I called the Gov's office this morning. As you know, you get the recording. And not being disrespectful, the man has an important job to do. But a question, two questions actually. First thing is, why on the way out the door, knowing what I know now about him leaving, why does he want to give us a dope slap on the way out the door with this unlawful phone application spyware about the COVID vaccine, number one? Number two, why do you and me and a lot of the good folks in the audience look to these people to tell us how to live our lives?
I don't think I do, and I don't think you do either. Do you, Joe?
No.
I wonder how. I didn't elect this guy to tell me how to lead my life. Did you?
No, sir, at all. Not.
Yeah, I mean, he was elected under false pretenses, as far as I can see. I mean, he was elected because he was the lesser of two evils. He was going to leave me alone as being a Republican. And then he proceeded to interfere with my life more than any governor of my lifetime has ever interfered with my life. And I think he's a spectacularly unsuccessful governor. I think he's a failed leader. Thanks for the call, Joe. Brian, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Howie. Now that the governor's leaving office, I'm wondering if the state police is going to reopen the case against Gropey there.
I think that one is gone. I don't think they're going to reopen that. You know, he said he wants to spend more time with his family in these important moments, like, you know, when your son gets lugged off an airplane, and they say that he inappropriately touched the female passenger sitting next to him. I guess that's an important moment. But he took care of that. What I want to know is he still gonna try to force all of these people on the state payroll, including a lot of really good people and a lot of first responders, people who were being touted and lauded as heroes just a year ago, less than a year ago even. He wants to now force them out of their jobs because they won't take the jab. I mean, is it time to maybe show a little mercy to these people? You know, I mean, I know you're probably, I know he's probably bitter about, you know, being forced out of office. But, you know, why are you punishing people who haven't done anything to you, who just, you have a, they have a disagreement about what they should do for their own health and their own family's health. And you want to fire them. You want to punish them. It's horrible. Thanks for the call, Brian. Terry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, Howie, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call. So I wanted to give you a heads up. The most recent example of the outrageous bias that we're facing, maybe it's column worthy. I don't know if you saw, the Daily Mail is reporting that the Michigan school shooter, the 15-year-old kid, is being charged with terrorism. Whereas the multiple-time criminal rapist bail evader Brooks, the Waukesha steamroller, he's only being charged with homicide. So I didn't know if you saw that, but I just...
No, I didn't.
Outrageous. Yeah.
I have no problems with calling that shooter a a terrorist. But, I mean, obviously, that pimp, that alleged, you know, he's an admitted pimp. Why am I calling him alleged? With that pimp, not why aren't they calling him a terrorist? I mean, and look at the writings, his social media writings. He didn't like white people. He didn't like Jews. Didn't like cops. He, you know, who did he like exactly? Thanks for the call there, Terry. It's ridiculous. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls on the end of the line for Charlie Parker. I'm Howie Carr.
Santa's not the only one who gets letters this time of year.
In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
Get your weekly dose of hate mail, Mondays at 4:30 on The Howie Carr Show. He doesn't pay any heed to climate change doomsday predictions.
Why is it you liberals, no matter what subject you're talking about, you always get around to that? You guys got more ways for the world to end than a dog's got fleas.
Howie Carr is back.
In Zimbabwe, in Namibia, in Lesotho, in Mozambique, what justify imposing a travel ban on countries that have zero case of the Omicron variant?
You know, that's a very good question and important question, and we did struggle with that. But we wanted to see if we could bide time temporarily. So I do hope that this gets sorted out and lifted before it has any significant impact on your country.
It takes a guy from Africa to ask him a real question, in case you didn't hear the beginning of it. In the case, Dr. Fauci, with all due respect, there's zero case of COVID variant of Omicron case in Zimbabwe, Namibia, Lesotho, in Mozambique. What justifies imposing a travel ban on countries that have zero cases of the Omicron variant? Well, it's the Omicron. That's what it is. It's the so if you're going to impose a travel ban on countries that don't have it, why don't you impose it on every country in the world? Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. The reason Charlie Baker's not running again is because he misses his guy Marty Walsh. Every time you turned around, he was holding hands with this guy somewhere. And then they were supposed to go to Washington on a honeymoon. You know, he'll probably end up in Washington.
I don't think so. I think he's going to get some big job with Big Pharma. That's what he's going to do. I think he's looking to make some money. I don't think it's a real good job. Maybe you're right. I don't really know. You know, they were kind of competing in the COVID sweepstakes in the early days. Remember, Marty Walsh said we're going to cut the capacity of all the bar rooms to 50%, and then the next day Charlie Parker said, "Well, I'll up you on that," like it was a poker game, and said, "We're going to close down all the bar rooms." And then the day after that, Curtatone, the mayor of Somerville, said, "I'm going to close all the playgrounds," meaning the monkey bars. So they were all competing. Those were the kind of humorous anecdotes, you know. How about when I closed all the restaurants? You closed all the restaurants in Boston. I put 30% of the restaurants in the state, 40% out of business. Anyway, check out my column at HowieCarrShow.com. We got some really fun. I think they're really funny pictures of Charlie Parker and with a duffel bag. Walking out of a place with his one of his top payroll Charlies, guy named Tim Buckley, and read my column, and also check out the cheap bastard deals at the store HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store. We still have gift certificates to Maria's Restaurante in Portland, Maine. $50 gift certificates for $25, and the T-shirt here that I'm wearing, "Let's Go Brandon" with the American flag on it. These are nice T-shirts. So this is to our friends and colleagues. After several months of this, this is the letter or the email that they put out, signed by Charlie Baker and Karen Polito, to our friends and colleagues. If we were to run, it would be a distraction. that would potentially get in the way of many of the things that we should be working on for everyone in Massachusetts. We want to focus on recovery, not on the grudge matches political campaigns can devolve into. Oh. Coming out of this pandemic, we are acutely aware, more than ever before, about how little we can take for granted when it comes to our family, our friends, or our time on this planet. And our time, not only on this planet, but in the solar system, in the galaxy, and in the universe as a whole. I made that last part up. Done right, these jobs require an extraordinary amount of time and attention, and we love doing them. But we both want to be there with Lauren and Steve. Lauren being his wife, Steve being her husband. And our children, for the moments, big and small, that our families will experience going forward. Like the keggers on the banks of Lake Quinsigamond, when my niece and nephews are graduating from school, the rest of the state is shut down. And yet we were able to enjoy a kegger. And those are those magic moments that we want to not take for granted in our time on this planet. Ah. And then they talk about our all the things they've done here. We cut the income tax to 5%. I believe the voters cut the income tax to 5% about 20 years ago from 6.25%, and it took them 20 years, the hacks on Beacon Hill, 20 years to finally get the tax rate down. It was a mandate under state law that they had to fulfill to get it down to 5%. But today is about the future. The next year needs to be about recovery, not about politics. We are grateful for the chance we have been given to serve the people of this great state, and we'll give it all our all between now and the end of 2022. Or as Greta Thunberg would say, blah, blah, blah. I'm Howie Carr.